Yesterday, Environmental Affairs Minister Barbara Creasy tabled her budget in Parliament, and one of the issues she highlighted was allocating 100 million rand over 3 years to help the South African Weather Service upgrade its technological capacity. Now, of course, you know the service has come under fire from some quarters for not having done more to predict the floods in KZN earlier this year and for not having alerted people more urgently to move away from unsafe areas. And Creasy defended the service in her speech, saying that warnings had been issued. She then also announced the funding, though, for improvement of modern radar technology systems specifically used to detect severe storms. And I thought we'd just take a moment or two to touch base with climate scientist Peter Johnston about why it's so important to be able to deliver accurate weather information. It's all well and good to say, I listen to the weather report so I know whether to take an umbrella or a jersey to work with me. They're far more important matters that are influenced by this. Dr. Peter Johnston, climate scientist at the University of Cape Town. Always lovely to talk weather with you. Welcome back.
Thanks, Pippa.
So, over to you. Tell us more.
So extreme weather or extreme weather events are very important because obviously they cause a lot more damage and a lot more hazardous and a lot more threatening than your normal sort of partly cloudy with showers.
Yeah.
And the Weather Service obviously is tasked with watching the weather all over the country and has stations that measure the historical weather and current weather and report back to central authorities so they can put their finger on what exactly is happening. Mm-hmm. But that's great. That's all good and well. It tells you whether it's raining and how much it's raining. But to look at big systems that bring extreme weather, you need two things. One is satellites, and that's available. Although it has some delays, and the satellite can look from above and detect certain things about cloud situations, thunderstorms, etc., even lightning strikes. But your radar can actually tell you about the amount of water in the clouds and the rain. So it tells you two things. One is the size of the raindrops, and one is the concentration of the raindrops. And clearly, if you've got a really heavy storm with hail, you're going to have serious radar. Radar essentially is like picking up airplanes in the distance. It sends out a signal and it gets a reflection. And so the bigger the hailstones, the bigger the raindrops, the higher the concentration, the bigger message you're getting sent back to you. And by looking at what's happening right now exactly, and this radar travels at the speed of light, so it's instant. So whoever's monitoring the radar, and there are about 14 radar stations around the country, they don't cover the whole country. But if you're monitoring this, you can actually see the movement of the cloud system or the rain system or the hailstones or whatever it is coming towards you or going away from you or going in a specific direction. Mm-hmm. You can't exactly predict where they're going to go, but if you track it over an hour or two, you can see what direction it's going and where it's going. So it's really very, very important for being able to spot an extreme situation and being able to say, listen, this is heading your way. Guys, you know, batten the hatches, get undercover. Now, the only trouble is when the Weather Service sees this, what do they do? Who do they contact? Now, it's not publicly available. It's not. You can't go into their website and see the radar right now. That's banned. You're not allowed to do that, and maybe for good reason. They then feed it through to disaster management, which is in a whole other department.
Yeah.
Now, because the radar takes 30 minutes to process, you can't get it instantaneously. It takes 30 minutes to process. By the time it's gone through the system, it might actually be too late. Now, updating this, you know, it's not child's play, and it's going to cost money, and the radar's often down. For example, the Cape Town radar's down right now.
Okay.
And it often goes down. So upgrading it is going to involve two things. One is getting the technology up to date, and we know there's vandalism and stuff. I mean, the one in Cape Town, I'm not even going to tell you where it is, but it's encased in a huge, big, round concrete ball to protect it, and the radar, you know, can penetrate through this. I'm not sure if it's concrete, but it looks like concrete. So they're going to have to build these things and maintain them and check them. And then they're going to have to get the communication flow juiced up so that it can get to the people who need it. Now, you think about who needs it. It's municipal managers. It's port authorities. It's airports. It's businesses. It's farmers. It's all those people. How are they going to get this is the big question. And there's some quarters that's saying, look, this must be publicly available. It must be on the website. You and I should be able to go and see it and make our own interpretation. But that obviously is a little dangerous. If it goes through the formal channel of disaster management, then things can be mobilized and people can be prepared, and you know, it's better for everybody. So it's a bit.
We have to leave it there because of the time. I'm so sorry. Dr. Peter Johnston, thank you so much. That's really been helpful information on why there is a need for the kind of investment in radar technology that's just been announced in that budget. Peter, a climate scientist at the University of Cape Town.